children, the holy city is described as having high, high walls, and underneath the walls, 12 foundations. Now, what is a foundation? Foundation is like the basement or footing of your house. When people build a house, they dig down into the ground so that, and then they pour concrete and put in cinder blocks or stones so that the house is well attached to the earth and it doesn't shift when the wind blows and storm comes. And the Lord told a parable about a wise man who dug deep and laid his foundation on the rock. And then when the storm came, his house was strong. And he said, "This is the kind of man who hears my sayings and does them." That's the kind of man who has a secure foundation. So we can see that foundations in the Word mean hearing the Lord's sayings and doing them. So you can think, what is the foundation of your body? What's the lowest part that gives you a secure connection to the ground so that you're able to do things? Well, that's your feet. And your mind also has a foundation. And the foundation of your mind is the truths that you know are true. You can count on them. You know that if you live by those truths, you're going to have a good life, like having a nice house with a strong foundation to live in. Now, in the holy city, it says that the foundations were adorned or decorated with 12, well, all kinds of precious stones, and the colors of the precious stones give them their correspondence, the writings say. We can see some of these stones around the word here. Here's an example of jasper. It's a kind of crystal. It's like diamond. The holy city is often said to have a light like jasper. And then here's some emerald. This emerald is not as precious as some emeralds because it's not very translucent. You can't see very much light through it, but it is the same kind of stone, and it's beautiful green color. Here are some stones that are sardius and sardonyx. You can see that they're red. And jasper and sardius are the two colors that the Lord himself was said to have, and he also had a rainbow of emerald around him. Here's two more stones that are mentioned in the holy city. This one is jacinth. You can see it's, well, maybe you can't see, but it's blue. And here is amethyst. You can see in the sun how it sparkles with purple color. It's beautiful. So the first stone in the holy city, its foundations is jasper, clear color, and it ends with amethyst, purple. So you can see there's beautiful stones, and many of them overlap with the stones that are told about in the high priest's breastplate, although not all of them. It's interesting that emerald, for example, there's no green in the breastplate, but there is in the holy city. Now, these stones, precious stones, represent clear, shining truths that show us how to be firm and strong in living a good life. And you know a lot of these truths. They're the recitations we learn in school. They're the sayings in the Word that we love best and are most familiar to us, like we sang today. He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee but to do judgment, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Well, that's a very clear, clear truth that we can do every day. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Clear truths. And I'm sure that you can think of many more. The Ten Commandments are perhaps the very best example of clear truths. They're full of the light of heaven. They're obviously true. They will always be true. Will always be true that thou shalt not murder. So we can see that these truths are like, are what are represented by the beautiful precious stones that make the foundations of the holy city. Now, the heavenly doctrine explains why stones correspond to truths. And they say that in the most ancient church, The most ancients set up stones as the boundaries, boundaries between one person's property or one person's land and another. And we do that today. How come we use stones? We use stones and metal because they don't rot. They don't blow away. They're going to stay there, stay in that same place. We can count on the boundary marker to stay where it's supposed to be. And another thing the writings say is the most ancient set up stones as memorials or witnesses, reminders of very important things that they wanted to remember. And we do that too. We have monuments and memorials made out of stone to remember how important love of country is and to remember some of the truths that great men have taught us, have reminded us of from the Lord. So these monuments are monuments to truths, really, that we care about. And these truths in our minds can also be really clear boundaries. I am not going to go past that line. The Lord says no, I'm not going to go there. And they are things that we want to keep in our minds and remember always to do them and never to forget them, forget about them. So you can see how stones correspond to truths. And stones are lasting. They don't change with time the way other things do. The most important truth of all is what? It is that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And so the Lord himself is often called a stone or a rock in the word. He's called the head of the corner or the chief cornerstone on which the whole church is built. All of Christianity, all of the new church depends on the truth that the Lord is God. And so the psalm says, the Lord is my rock and my redeemer. Now, what do precious stones correspond to? Well, if you think of a diamond, how beautifully it catches the light and sparkles and even makes colors, that's a neat picture of how certain truths from the word in our minds catch the light of heaven, and they sparkle and they make show how beautiful the light of heaven is, how beautiful the truth is. And so the writings say that precious stones represent truths that are beautiful because they are from good. Truths that show us this is how you live a good life. This is how you be safe and happy and useful in your life. And they show us how to live. And that's just like the breastplate too. Because when a king, like David, for example, wanted to know, what does the Lord want me to do? He would come to the priest, the high priest, wearing the breastplate, and he would ask the Lord. And the Lord would answer him by a living voice, but also by making certain of the stones sparkle in a certain pattern. And that would show him what he was supposed to do. Well, in a similar way, when we want to know what the Lord wants us to do, we can read the word. And we can think about what we have learned from the word, and the Lord in a quiet way will make certain truths sparkle in our minds. We'll remember them, and we'll have a sense, this is what I should do, and this is what I shouldn't do. So it's very similar to the way the breastplate was used. So whatever we love, that's what's beautiful to us. That's what we really learn and remember. So what we should do, if we want the Lord to be able to decorate the foundations of our life with his beautiful, precious stones, is read the word. Read the word a little bit each day. Read it to find beautiful, sparkling truths there. And then, more and more, you will remember them. And they will become boundaries in your mind, boundaries that protect you in your life. They will become a firm foundation for your home in heaven. And the Lord will become your rock and your redeemer. Amen.